I own an island off the coast of Costa Rica. I've leased it from the government, and I've spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of
football
preserve.
Coast Corner Sports NCAA 2009 preview.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. As football players, as always.
Hold on to your butt.
All right, well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. We got a little bit of change of a program going on here. Actually, I know I said that the next one was going to be a Big Ten show, but since we're working around our schedule here a little bit, Carl's not going to be joining us today. It's just going to be me, so we're going to do it nice and quick, and we're just going to do the independents, which are basically just going to be four schools, actually, Notre Dame, Army, Navy, and we're going to throw the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers in there because they are technically not in a conference yet, and they're still considered independent in the game. So with that being said, we're going to jump right into Notre Dame and take a start with them. So obviously last year's Notre Dame team was a debacle, to say the least. They statistically put up one of the worst offensive seasons ever in college football. So in the last century or so, you're talking about a relatively really poor team. So Notre Dame, I guess I'll give you a couple things since now we have a lot more information. Notre Dame is a six-star prestige team, one of the few. There's only a couple of few in the game, actually. So it's kind of interesting to see that they are that high. And they are ranked 81 overall, 83 offensively, 82 defensively. So pretty solid team, but solid in the sense of their average as far as in the game goes. So as far as what we're going to talk about, we're going to try to focus a bit more today, or at least I'm going to try to focus a bit more today on benefits and aspects in the game that are coming in, as opposed to just talking about the teams in general. So that's something that Carl and I discussed, and we think we're going to try to do a little bit more on. So Notre Dame, obviously one of the big things that you want to look at is this is a really, really, really young team. Now, some of the line is a bit more experienced. You got some mostly seniors and juniors in the line. But as far as a lot of positions go, you have a lot of younger sophomores and underclassmen guys who are stepping up to play the roles last year. And that's probably part of the reason they were so bad last year, was because of the fact that they were just awful. And you have a lot of inexperience there. So there's promise in that regard in saying that you have a lot of young guys that you can start to develop, and that will probably progress relatively well over time. Remember that these are at least decent incoming recruiting classes that Weiss has been getting. You know, he obviously got a very solid one last year as well. And this is the second year for Jimmy Clausen. Now, you're not gonna with Notre Dame, you're not gonna obviously have the ability to scramble out of the quarterback position like a lot of other teams give you. There's really no one with tons of speed. Now, Clausen's not horribly slow. He's got 72 acceleration, but definitely not a speed demon by any means. 68 speed. He's not gonna outrun a lot of guys. You're gonna be stuck in your basics, you know, couple step drop back and be throwing the ball. And there's no one else on the roster that's gonna be able to bring you a scrambling option. So if you are looking for a scrambling team, you want to look elsewhere. Everyone on the roster is actually slower than Jimmy Clausen. So don't be expecting to be making too many moves out of the pocket with your quarterback. But obviously he's one of the better rated players on their team. He's an 85 overall, and that's pretty nice for a sophomore QB, actually. That's one of the things that you got to figure by his senior year, you're gonna have a very, very solid, very accurate quarterback from the pocket. The other thing to talk about, I guess, with this team is just the turnaround that you're going to want to see this team go through. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a decent jump between the teams. Definitely a lot of improvements going to go on. Now, whether or not it's going to be as much as some of the pundits out there are saying, I don't necessarily agree with that. They do still have a tough schedule, and they still have a decent number of games that they can lose. you know, the beginning of the season, they play Michigan, then Michigan State, then Purdue, which are, I mean, Michigan State and Purdue, they're probably about on level with, and I would probably argue that they're a little bit behind Michigan right now. Now, I might be biased a little bit in that regard, but I still think that they don't have quite as much talent as some of those other teams. And, you know, you got other games on the schedule, like North Carolina, Pitt, BC, USC. So you're going to take some losses in there, and, you know, that's not including games like Washington that they could easily lose, Navy, depending on how everything goes. So I think you just have to be relatively cautious about this, at least in that regard. Now let's talk a little bit about the things that you're going to like on their team. First of all, I would mention that Maurice Crum Jr. obviously is very good at middle linebacker position. He's rated 90 overall, so that's definitely something that you're going to be pointing out. That you're going to, having a strong middle linebacker in this game is really, really important and really helps in defense. I mean, even if you don't play with him, you're having that guy who's reacting right in there right away, so basing around that defense. At the right outside linebacker spot, you have an 80, and then at the left outside linebacker spot, you also have a couple 80s. So really, really guys that not really haven't developed that well, but who are still going to be getting some playing time. So and will be okay depending on when they progress and so on and so forth. At the running back position, James Aldridge is rated at 86. Decent, not a ton of speed, 91, 93. That's speed acceleration there. Decent agility at 88. So not anything substantial. But there is only a little bit of depth behind him there. Armando Allen is an 84, and then you have 83, 82 on their roster. So decent set of running back position there as well. And the offensive line, right tackle is going to be Sam Young, and he's rated a 94 overall, so there's a positive. At left tackle, you have 87 overall. And that is obviously Paul Duncan on the other side of the line. So, you know, relatively solid at both tackle positions. The right guard's an 85. Your left guard, you're talking about being an 81. So, you know, that's not bad for the offensive line there. So, those are guys that are going to be able to jump up a little bit. Now, they are, as I said, the line is a little bit older, so you may not be able to progress all those guys. But that's a decent line, which is, I think, probably one of the most important things. Defensive-wise, you know, John Tenuta comes in from Georgia Tech, and that's going to be a big change of pace. That they're saying that maybe they're actually going to be blitzing a lot more. And in the game, it's not going to affect you as much, but it does mean that you're going to probably see the use of those guys a lot more in sides and so on. You're going to be able to use those linebackers. You're going to be able to use the defensive end. You're going to be able to use those cornerbacks maybe a little bit more effectively with that school. Who knows for sure whether they'll actually incorporate it in there the playbooks are all pretty generic. So you're not going to be able to get a lot more Notre Dame, but you still can, at least in the aggressive style, you can still do some of that some of that going on. So I'm not going to go through all their defensive players as much because I don't think they're quite as important. As mentioned, the left ends go 85, 82, 80, and the right ends go 85, 76. So not a ton of depth there. Defensive tackle-wise, this should be a little bit better, 84, 81. Not a whole lot going on there. The cornerbacks, obviously, there's one thing. Depending on how you're going to do your rosters, this is a big change going on here because Notre Dame just lost a cornerback to the season, and he's still in the game, obviously, because it just happened. So that's going to be a little bit different depending on whether or not you decide to take him out or edit him out or however you want to do it. But Darren Walls, he's number two cornerback, and also the number two cornerback for Notre Dame. He's an 83 overall, 94 speed, 94 acceleration. So he's gone for the year. He's in the game, but if you take him out, you know, that's going to take a hit to them. They do have a couple other corners, but they only have four corners in the game. So keep that in mind. You're going to have to throw someone in there right away, probably convert someone over. Considering they have four strong safeties, you can probably do that, and three free safeties. So thank God we don't have to listen to Tom Zabikowski be mentioned as a boxer anymore. Notre Dame-wise, I think that, you know, you're talking about a six-star prestige program. Overall, I think that if you like Notre Dame, this is the way to go. It's ironic. A picture of Mike Golic just popped up on my screen as I'm talking about Notre Dame, which kind of scared me at the same time. If you like Notre Dame, it's definitely the way to go. They're pulling in good recruits. It's a matter of whether or not Weiss can develop those recruits and whether or not you in the game is going to be able to develop those recruits. So, while you have the game, you should be competing right away for 5-star recruits. You know, this is a team that's probably not going to be, in the top 50 this year, so that's something to consider if you want to maybe bring them back to glory a little bit or whatever like that. This would be a good team to do it with. I think that everyone needs to be aware that you might have a not good first season, but as those younger guys progress who are supposed to be good, you'll get it going on a lot better. So that's my take on Notre Dame. A lot of people have them, this is my one word of caution, a lot of people have them, you know, edging into the 30s and stuff, depending on how people look at it or whatever. I don't see that for this year. I don't think they're that talented. And I think the game developers kind of agree with me. You know, an 81 is relatively low compared to where a lot of people are ranking them. So, consider that something to take in mind. So, with that being said, let's move on to the next team we're going to take, which is Navy. And Navy is not exactly looked super kindly on because the academies there are not exactly loved by given love in the ratings. But that's understandable because, you know, they are definitely not as good of a schools when it comes to things like that. Now, Navy is probably going to be nationally somewhere in the 70s. They're a two prestige school, and their overall numbers are, if I can pull it up, their overall numbers are 72 overall, 77 offensively, 71 defensively. So, let's just go a couple things with Navy, and I'll pull up their rosters and we can go over them real quickly. One thing to be at least relatively positive about is the return of their quarterback, who, let's try not to butcher his name here, Kaipo Noah Kahiku Enhada. If I'm going to say that one again, I'm just going to be referring to Enhada, because that, I think, is the easiest way to do it. I don't know what everyone else feels, but that's not exactly the easiest name to pronounce, and I'm not an announcer for the Navy midshipmen, so I don't need to worry about pronouncing it on a regular basis. One great thing about him, if you do end up with his team, is you definitely have a scrambling threat. Now, he's only rated 84 overall, but his acceleration is 94, and his speed is 86. So that's definitely something to look forward to. Decent agility, 87. Obviously, with that team, they're a huge, huge running team. So that's the basis of their offense. So let's talk about, I guess, a couple things here. Obviously, the loss of Paul Johnson is relatively significant, but I don't think it's that significant that you need to be worried about changing the basic philosophy of this team. You know, they're still going to be doing the same type of thing, running the ball, running that option, and everything like that. So don't get too freaked out if you get the school. You're still going to be a primarily option-based team. At halfback there, depending on how you want to look at it, because, you know, they use the slot back because of the formation they're running out of. Sean White is relatively good, 94 acceleration, 92 speed, 85 overall. He's clearly going to be the best running back on that roster. You know, they have Greg Shinego, who's going to be your other slot back, and he's not nearly as good as 77 overall, and then from there it kind of gets rougher, 74, 73, 73, 72, 68. Lots of halfbacks on their roster because they do use that that slot back formation, so you're going to see a lot of interesting things going on with that. So that's, you know, you're going to be going with a lot of option based attacks if you're going to be doing this thing. Another thing at the slot back / fullback position is Eric Itane, is probably one of the better fullbacks in the game. He's rated 93 overall. For a fullback, he's not really that slow. 84 acceleration, 86 speed, decent strength, 76. So, you know, you're talking about a guy who, in that option, really does give you a good rushing option when you're running the triple option or things like that. But you can really use your fullback as a threat, where I know a lot of people a lot of times teams don't use their fullback as a threat. Navy's built specifically so you can use him as a threat. So take advantage of that in the game, because that is, I think, probably one of the more important things, is having a good running fullback. And that's exactly what he is. So defensively, not a lot going on. Oh, before I go on to defense, actually, let's talk wide receivers. Navy only has 5 wide receivers in the game, and none of them are rated better than 78. So Tyree Barnes is the best returning one. He's a 78 overall. Not exactly someone that you're going to be talking about a lot or anything like that. But, you know, that's all right. It happens. One thing I will mention, too, before I move on to their defense, is at the quarterback position, there is Jared Bryant, and he's a backup quarterback, and he's not listed on the backup quarterback roster for whatever reason. He's number 2, but their quarterbacks go number 4, number 13, and number 1, so I'm scrolling through right now to see if he's listed as a halfback actually in the game. He's their number 3-4 halfback. He's a number 4 halfback, it looks like, with 88 acceleration, 89 speed, 73 overall. And let's see, actually I'm going to scroll over. He does have 82 throwing power, 68 throwing accuracy. So you got a halfback that can throw. Which is interesting, because he's actually supposed to keep his role as a quarterback this year, as their backup quarterback. Defensively, let's just go through real quickly. Not a whole lot going on here. You know, there's not much depth. You're going to be looking at guys in the high 70s to low 70s, depending on the position. And, you know, middle linebacker, your high is 77. Right end, your high is 79. Left end, you do have a decent guy in Michael Walsh, who's an 85 overall. But he's a senior, he's leaving. Free safety, you know, same thing, 79, 79. Cornerbacks, you do have one good cornerback in Rashawn King, who's is an 82 overall. But other than that, you're not really a lot of strength there. Same thing with you know, strong safety, or in this case, the Rover, since they don't have strong safeties. And they do have free safeties, and of course, they're going to mess it all up in the game. Which means strong safety number 8 is Wyatt Middleton, who's listed as a strong safety in the game, who's supposed to play free safety for them. And that's how it goes. Their free safety is going to play Rover. It's all chaos when it comes to converting the Rover position into actual players. But Navy, you know, you're going to be looking at a team that's going to be all sophomores or above. And recruiting-wise, obviously, it's going to be a huge task for you. You're talking about a 2-prestige school, not a lot to go on. So I would be very cautious about taking this team. I would say I'm going to pass on them at 1. I'm definitely going to pass on them at 2. If you're stuck with him at 3, make the best out of what you have in the option game. You know, lead the NCAA in rushing again, like Navy does. And this is not a team that you're going to want to go after necessarily, but you know, you could actually do worse like than them. I guess it would give you a fun chance to play around with the option. So, with that being said, that'll finish my analysis of Navy. I'm not going to go through their schedule because I'm just not. Finally, let's move on to Army. And I'll pull up the Army numbers right here. Army is a wonderful 1-prestige school. And that makes it even more exciting when you're playing with one of those 1-prestige schools. But if you're one of those guys who's in the 1-prestige dynasties, I know a lot of people are doing those these years. That's how we like to play with the lower schools. You know, don't be too scared if you grab Army, but at the same time, be a little scared, because, you know, you're talking about a team that's going to be 110, 115 in the country, really not an elite program or anything like that. So let me pull up their overall numbers. Overall, Army is 60. I didn't know that before. Sorry, that's why you got a little giggle from me. And offense is 66, defense is 60. So when you're talking about the 1 prestige programs, and I probably can't pull them all up off the top of my head, but they're not exactly the premier of the 1 prestige programs. Like, Kent State's a 1 prestige program, and we have a little love for my Kent State. They're 72 overall, so I wouldn't go out of your way to grab Army. Now, Let's talk about Army really, really briefly. So the big news with Army is going to be obviously their change to the Wishbone style option attack, which is kind of came out this spring, and I'd be interested to see how big of a option playbook they do have in the game, because it's not, it was kind of supposed to be hidden and not well known and everything like that. Now, with that being said, their team's not really that well built for option right now. You have returning junior Carson Williams, who's not slow, 78 acceleration, 76 speed, but not exactly fleet-footed either. And as far as the quarterback position goes, you have a couple other guys there. No one's really going to blow you away. Their best I can see is their quarterback number 12 is probably incoming freshman Paul McIntosh with 84 acceleration, 72 speed, and a 70 overall. And they're also in the game. They don't have this changed, but halfback number 3 in the game is going to be Carlos San Diego, if we can get a
tell me where in the world is
Carmen San Diego.
There we go. He is actually switching over to quarterback. So in the game, he's 91 speed, 93 acceleration, doesn't have any throw power or anything like that. But that's someone that you should see flipping over to quarterback if someone does the rosters correctly, and something that you could put in there potentially to run the option. As far as other running backs go, you know, you're talking about only 79 overall, 77 and 77 backing that up. This is a team that's really, it's kind of surprising them going back to Wishbone, but at the same time it's not, because you're talking about a school that needs to have some sort of unique way of competing with the other people just because of the fact that they don't get as much talent. So the reason why it's a surprise is because they were ranked 111th in the country last year in rushing, so this is not exactly a stalwart of a rushing team right now. That being said, at running back, you know, with 77s, 79s, and 79s, you really could do worse in the world. So it's not horrible for a team that's ranked so far down the road, but you know, it is not exactly the way to go. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on with their running back depth chart, because Tony Dacey's supposed to be the starting running back, depending on where you read, and they have Patrick Mealy coming in. Patrick Mealy's number 29, and he's the lowest rated running back, and Dacey's number 28, and he is the fourth lowest running back. So I don't exactly understand what they're doing there, but I guess we'll have to sort all that out with the numbering and everything like that until I can actually see what years people are. I can't pick apart people. So as far as other positions go, you know, really the one bright spot on the offense is going to be Mike Wright at wide receiver. He's an 80 overall. But if you're talking about an option-based team, you know, that's not a huge deal to you. And on top of that, actually, it's kind of surprising. Their wide receivers are not rated horribly. They're 80, 75, and then 73, which is relatively high when you consider the fact that they're Army. So take that as a nice little gift there. The line is going to be in the mid-70s, which is actually kind of surprising for a team that's not probably mid-70s ranked. But no one's below 73. So it should be interesting. Defensively, you know, this was a team that did really well versus the pass and not too great against the run. In fact, they got obliterated by the run, and they're supposed to be hopefully stepping that up this year, but it's going to reflect in the linebacker ratings, you know, mid-70s for almost everyone there. And in the defense tackle ratings, you have two decent guys who are ranked 78 and 76 overall, respectively, in Bentler and Gann. But really not much to talk about here defensively, other than you're going to have to make a huge improvement. You're going to have to bring in a lot of new talent if you want to make any sort of impact defensively. Might be fun to take the Wishbone and option tack and really go. I don't think that I would recommend taking them on any level. Obviously, at 3, you just make the best of that option, but that's about it. We're going to flip real quickly now, and we're going to do the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. I'm considering them part of the Independents because that's how the game lists them, even though they're going to be going into the Sun Belt next year, because they're technically not in there yet. They have a lot of schools, a lot of Division One, if you will, schools, depending on how you want to talk about it, FBS schools, compared to last year, improving in that schedule, but, you know, they're going to drop a lot of losses, so... So basically, let's go to Western Kentucky's best point, which would be their quarterback position. Well, relatively best point, I guess, speaking. Let's give you their numbers overall. They are a one-star prestige program, obviously, and they are 60 overall, I believe. 60 overall with, if I can find it now, 68 offense and 60 defense, so not a lot to go on there. Briefly, we'll go through the roster. Let's see, at quarterback, you have KJ Black, who's going to be starting only a sophomore, which is nice. 78 overall, so he could be doing worse there. Their backup quarterback number 3 is David Wilk, who's a senior, who's also 78 overall. And he was injured in the spring, so Black got most of the repetition at spring practice, and they're saying that Black's probably going to win the starting job, but you never really know. Black's a little bit better of a scrambler, so that would be the benefit, although it doesn't really come out in the game much. He only has 78 acceleration and 78 speed, whereas Wolk has 74 acceleration and 72 speed. Much better agility, I would say, 78 to 68, but for a guy who can give you a little bit of a running threat, not really getting a lot of love, which is understandable because NCAA loves to hit on those lower-ranked guys. But still, he's a sophomore, and it's not a horrible thing. At the running back position, obviously the strength is going to be your number one running back, which is Tyrell Hayden, probably the best player on their team. Didn't really get a lot of love for NCAA either. He's a small guy, but only 89 acceleration and 89 speed for a guy who really makes his calling at Western Kentucky with his speed. It is quite surprising to see him ranked so low, but I guess they have to do something to make them really be 60 overall. So that's the deal with that. He really is probably going to be your best player in what you're going to want to do. You're not going to be able to do a lot of options with them or anything like that. Wide receiver wise, you're going to be looking at wide receiver number 11, who is Jake Gabler. He's your best wide receiver. He's rated 79 overall, which is pretty damn good as well. There's a couple other guys. No one really that's huge to make note of, except for the wide receiver core is actually decent, 79, 74, 73, 71, 68. So really a lot of depth in that. I should make note that the numbers are way off on their roster, so just be aware of that if you're inputting names or anything like that. That being said, Western Kentucky is not the team you want to be hitting because they are just coming into the Sun Belt. And part of the reason you don't want to be hitting them is because their offensive line is atrocious. Probably I would venture to say the worst offensive line. You're talking about guys that are 71s or 72s, mostly across the board. You get some gems like the right guard 78, who's Austin Chestnut. But for the most part, you're talking about the low 70s there. Never something that's really nice when you're talking about your whole starting line. Defensive-wise, not a whole lot going on here as well. They run a 3-4, so be aware of that. And when you run a 3-4, it's never a good thing when your second middle linebacker is rated as a 69 overall. They have L.J. Harbison as the number 2 middle linebacker. Others have Darvis McBride doing it, so it really will depend. He's listed as a right outside linebacker in the game, and only a 66 overall. So if you're going to be flipping him to middle linebacker, he's not going to be that good. A roster will correct for that. But you know, for the most part, running a 3-4 and having a 77-69, they aren't great. Defensive tackle wise, you can run a 4-3 because you do have two defensive tackles who are 74 and 71, respectively, in Terrell Clark and John Belcher. I believe it's Belcher. Their numbering's off again, of course. But anyways, yes, so you can run the 4-3 because you have two respectable guys, but you're not talking about anything really that great. At cornerback position, their number one cornerback is Marcus Miner. He's a 76 overall. Not horrible, 88 89 speed, 88 acceleration, and his awareness is 66. Something to work for there. But they also have Rashid Etheridge, who's their number two corner, who's a 72 overall. 70 awareness, which is a little bit better, a little bit faster, 88 acceleration, 91 speed. The third cornerback is actually rated to 71 overall. That's Jihad Morris. So for, you know, for a team that really is just kind of coming in, they're not really horrible in that regard. Safety, free safety, 73, 64, 62. Not something great that you're talking about there. And at strong safety, you're talking about a 70 and a 69 in their starters, whose numbering is also off. So, that being said, Western Kentucky is probably the last team I'd want to have. Even though I think Tyrell Hayden is underrated a bit in the game, you still need to remember that this is a team that's being transitioned into the FBS, and they'll be in the Sun Belt next year. I don't know how that's being handled in the Dynasty mode. If you get them, you are going to be in serious trouble because you're going to have to recruit out of state. There's not enough talent in a state like Kentucky, even in the game, even in fake dynasty mode, and so you're going to have to be able to take that outside, and that's going to be really hard with a one prestige school that's really not going to be able to win a lot. You don't have a super tough schedule, but you know, playing Alabama and Indiana, Kentucky, Virginia Tech is going to give you some losses there. A team like Ball State too is going to be a loss. That being said, that'll wrap up our nice short little independence and what specifically we want to talk about. So next time, hopefully, we'll be doing the Big Ten. No promises, though, but take a look for it, and we'll see. And then you can see what we're doing, because right now we're having a couple scheduling issues. But that's it. Independence, you know what to do. You probably don't want any of them unless you're a Notre Dame fan. And, I don't think I ever told you my Notre Dame. On Notre Dame, I would not take them on one. I would take them on two, probably. Even though I hate Notre Dame, I still would do it. Because I think they have enough young talent coming in there, and knowing the game benefit on recruiting, you would be able to do a little bit more damage there. So until next time, enjoy the game and all the maybe freezing issues, depending on, since that's what I'm reading online. So.
Well, she sneaks around the world from Kia to Carolina. She's a sticky fingered thrasher from Berlin down to Belize. She'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me,
where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Steal their
soul in South Korea, making that it comes right off from the Red Sea to Greenland. They'll be singing the blues. Well, they never Arkansas her steal. For me, come from the jungle.
In the world is
Carmen Sandiego.
She goes from Nashville to Norway, out to Zimbabwe, Chicago to Czechoslovakia
and back.
Well, she'll ransack Pakistan and run a scan in Scandinavia. Then she'll stick them out down under and go pickpocket further.
She was
the missing misdemeanor when she stole the beans from Lima. Tell me,
where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?